Welcome, everyone, to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, the Thursday edition, live from One Buck Palace, where, no, of course, we don't have to behave any better here on the podcast just because we're within the walls of Team Glazer and their oatmeal that they eat with Ira at times. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com here with LeeDKemper.com. LeeDKemper.com?
Yes,
that's
you
fantastic.
Did.
Sure.
Yes, you did.
That's fantastic.
I do not have that URL.
Are there any girly pictures on that website?
There would be if I had that site, yes.
LeeDKemper of JoeBucksFan.com and the guest of honor, Ira Kaufman, whose podcast is exploding every Tuesday and Thursday here on JoeBucksFan.com. And if you have iTunes, of course, if you're listening on your iPhone, just subscribe, search podcasts, search Bucks. There it is. Subscribe to Ira. You'll get an alert every time the podcast posts if you don't feel like listening on JoeBucksFan.com. Now, Ira, here we are. And let's get right into next week here. Let's get right into Sunday because everybody's mind is jacked up on Sunday here. Because this is huge, huge. The Chargers, easy to write them off in your minds, 5-6. But this is a team that beat Atlanta, okay, last month. Beat them bad in overtime. Rang up a lot of points. This is a team that played after that played Denver tight, and this is a team that racked up 43 points on the Titans, who are actually a good team this year. And last week they beat the Texans. So what are we looking at here, Ira? How tough is this game?
We're looking at a 3.5-point favorite over one of the hottest teams in football. That's what we're looking at. The Chargers are favored in this game, gentlemen. Yeah, you can give them 3 points for playing at home, although Qualcomm's no great home field advantage. They don't even know how much longer they're going to be playing in that stadium. That is respect for the Chargers from the Vegas boys, and they know what they're talking about. Steve, you make a great point. Now, look, no team in this league has lost more heartbreakers than the San Diego Chargers. Nobody. And it started, Lee, in week one. They had the Chiefs beaten to a pulp. I think it might have been 24-0. Chiefs were down and out. And what happened? They took their foot off the pedal. Kansas City turned out to be a pretty good football team. And by the way, they're playing in the toughest division in football.
Of course.
Those are three very good teams. Nobody be surprised if all three make the postseason in the AFC. So this is a dangerous opponent, Lee, with a quarterback whose competitiveness is off the charts. A balanced offense that scores a lot of points because Gordon has now emerged as a big-time running back. And even without Keenan Allen, gentlemen, who's a very good young wide receiver who's missed almost a whole year, they score a lot of points, Lee. This is another challenge for the Buck defense.
It's a challenge, and you, a little bit ago you said that the Vegas boys respect the Chargers so much. Now, of course, our listeners will probably immediately say, oh, they're disrespecting the Bucks. I would say no. I think there's a lot of people out there, me included. Yeah, these two last wins were awful nice. I'm still skeptical. And, you know.
Why? What's holding you back, DeKemper?
I want to see a streak. I want to see, well, for example, this game. If they beat the Chargers on the West Coast, to me, they're proven that these last two games were not a fluke. So what? They beat the Bears. They beat Brady J. Cutler. Yawn. You know, virtually every team in the NFL has done that. You know. Props to you. You beat a garbage team. You should be beating garbage teams if you're any good. Chiefs was an impressive win. The Seattle game, whoa, everybody, I think, took a step back. But the Bucks have been horrid for so long, the skeptics are out there. Prove it. You know, show me. I want to see another win. I want to see them go out in San Diego. I want to see them beat San Diego because if the Bucks are as good as what they showed against the Seahawks, against the Chiefs, then they should beat the Chargers. And if they beat the Chargers, I think everybody and their brother is going to be on board. Now, Bill Polian, he was on NFL radio. You know, he stopped just short of saying the Bucks are a playoff team. He says they're for real. He thinks they've dug a hole for themselves. He's not optimistic they're going to make the playoffs. And the common thread is they're going to have to get to 10 wins. Steve's been saying
that, too. Ira's race to 10.
Yeah, race to 10. And Bill Polian, he said, I don't know if they can get 10 because basically they have to go 4-1. And then you look at that schedule, they'll probably split with the Saints. Unlike Steve, I think the Saints are not that good.
You think they'll lose in Dallas, right?
I don't think anybody's going to expect them to beat Dallas. Now, if you want to talk about a dramatic statement, to use your phrase, there's your dramatic statement.
Steve, the Kemper's skepticism is understandable, Steve. Because, and I'm going to throw this out there, and I hate to remind you gentlemen of this, but in the last 10 years, a decade, in the month, once the calendar turns to December, and there's a couple of scattered games in January, but anything after December 1st. The Bucks have won 11 games in 10 years. That is the worst record.
After December 1st?
After December 1st.
11 games 11 in
games
10 years.
In a decade.
Are you sure?
They're 11 and 37.
11 games.
11 and 37. That is worse than the Browns. That is the worst record in the National Football League when the calendar turns towards December.
So that,
yes,
starts,
that is correct.
Starting in the 2005 season?
The last 10 years.
Wow.
Well, the last 10 years. Well, 11 and 37. Now, you know, to make Lee's point, and we don't want to be Debbie Downers
no.
here, because your Isbitz, your traffic goes up and your pockets get lined when the Bucks are successful. But
well, speaking of that, Ira, of course, your podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa.
Set him up.
And Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. You know, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, proud supporters of the podcast, proud supporters of everything Ira Kaufman does for JoeBucksFan.com. Right now, Ira, I'm actually here trying to tune you out while I look at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.com. I'm looking at the season's best events. And of same thing going on over at EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. And, you know, right on Causeway Boulevard in Brandon, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, beautiful dealership. And Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. You know, just
the season, right, Steve?
Just west of I-275 on Fletcher. Fantastic deals, fantastic dealership. 70 years of Ed Morris. So, Ira, now go ahead.
I was going to say that besides that putrid record in December, and I could think of a word worse than putrid, you can't even believe the 11 wins in 10 years.
I still know I'm going to write it up as soon as we finish.
That's my nugget, my friend. And if you want to argue, argue with the NFL Guide, because that's where I got it, the NFL Guide.
Michael Signora?
It's in the book, 11 and 37. Okay. Now, besides that, and I hate to bring up old history, but it's not that old. Last year, 6-6. 2012, Mr. Schiano's first year, 6-4, Lee. And you know what? Those are 10 games at the end of those two seasons. They won one of them. They went 1-5 and 0-4.
Well, those two seasons, those two collapses, you could point to two things directly as a reason why.
Quan Alexander
last year? No, I'm going to bring up Lovie not adjusting.
It all goes back to Lovie Smith for DeKemper.
Well, you know what?
Somehow, some way.
I've been going back and forth with a guy who covers the Fighting Illini.
Yes.
He's feeding me some information that it's...
He had a glittering first season.
It looks like a very bad marriage with Lovie and the community of Champaign.
Oh, boy.
But I told him what Cutter had said this week on Dan Lucas's, you know, Dangerous Dan Lucas, Channel 8, where Cutter said, hey, if you keep doing the same things, you better expect the same result. So that's why they changed things up after the Atlanta debacle on Thursday night.
That's right.
And I mentioned this to him, and all three of us know all too well, that was not Lovie's forte. It was my way or the highway. And I mentioned this to him, and he pretty much, this gentleman who covers the Illini, on direct message on Twitter, I'm not going to out him because he didn't expect any of this to be public, but he said, you know, it's Lovie. He's doing the same thing here. It's my way or the highway. And yes, the Illinois finished last in the Big Ten in pass completion defense.
What?
The other item I mentioned about the two collapses you could point to, one was Lovie never adjusted. They knew in training camp Quan Alexander got popped. They knew that. And Lovie had all this time to adjust and prepare for life without Quan. He didn't. And that's
what
why he's done
2012?
Here. 2012, you had a guy that went mental as a quarterback. Simple as that, as Lovie would say. Simple as that.
Why do you think this year is going to be different, Steve? Or do you think it's going
to
be different?
I've got a long list of things to quibble with here, Ira. First, let me start with Lee. I think 2012, I can't go there. If Danny Gorer, of all people, catches that ball right in his hands from, what's his name, the Eagles quarterback. His name is escaping me. Now he's a backup.
Detmer.
No, the tall guy.
Whatever.
No, I got to think of his name. Come on.
Are you arguing?
Oh, the guy with the Rams last year. Foles?
Yeah, Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. If Danny Gore catches the ball right in his gut, that game's over. Bucks go to 7-5. And that was the Super Bowl reunion day, 10-year anniversary. A lot of bad luck at the end of that season. That didn't have anything to do with Josh Freeman.
DeKemper's point, Freeman did not finish strong that year, Steve. He did not.
Well, the team didn't finish strong. I mean, he didn't put the team on his back or anything like that. But it wasn't just Freeman. It was a team that was probably playing a little bit over his head.
Now, wait, I'm going to support DeKemper here.
All right.
And I'm going to give you a counter argument because you love to jump in against me. The reason they drafted Mike Glennon was direct response to Freeman free fall.
Bingo.
I'm sorry, Steve. He did not play well. I think he threw 27 touchdowns that year. He set a franchise record.
Here comes the but.
I'm telling you again, when they were 6-4, he played lousy those last games, and that's when Schiano turned on him, and it all came to a head.
Was his last good game at Carolina? His overtime when he threw that touchdown to Vincent Jackson? You're like, wow.
Now, Steve, we're not, Lee and I are not saying that's the only reason they finished 1-5.
When your quarterback melts down, that's a huge reason.
Steve, he did not finish well, and you can defend your man, Josh Freeman, your boy toy, all you want.
Oh.
But Freeman had a lousy finish to that season. And that turned Schiano and that whole administration against him.
Unbelievable.
They thought they were right.
Unbelievable.
We're not backing down, Bizbits.
We're not backing down from this nonsense.
What are your other points, other quibbles, my friend? What are your other quibbles, my friend?
I
don't know where to start.
I don't know where to start. You know, Freeman, I'll just say this. They were 6-4, Ira. Freeman went in that next game to play the 9-1 Falcons. 9-1 Falcons. They put up a hell of a lot of
Mike
points. Mike Smith's Falcons, okay? They put up a hell of a lot of points. The offense was doing its thing. This was a team that had E.J. Biggers, okay? Leonard Johnson.
Don't make me laugh, man. You're making me laugh with
some
of these
names. Laquan Lewis and Danny Gore in the secondary.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that was the historically worst, second worst secondary in the history of football.
What's the matter? Myron Lewis wasn't available, gentlemen?
He was a bench warmer.
He couldn't crack that lineup. That's the funny part. Let's forget about this.
Look at his bits.
Yeah, he's pulling up Pro Football Reference.
I'm not pulling anything up right here.
All right.
All right, now listen. I told you I was on Edmore's Cadillac brand.
What about last year? 6-6.
All right, let's get back to the Chargers here for a second. First of all, your Vegas boys, they've been wrong on the Bucs for 3 weeks in a row. So let's just throw them out the window right now where they belong. And
They were 7-point underdogs against both the Chiefs and the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's which right. was you know, dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
So that's fine. Now look. You've got the Chargers here, and you've got a fan base that's got some doubt, but there's tons of believers, but a lot of doubt. Let's go back to that poll before the Seattle game. Most people said we'd be happy with 8-8. You know, that would be a satisfying and acceptable season. So the question is the perspective of Bucs fans right now. After beating the Chiefs and the Seahawks, you could say, well, it's reasonable to expect them to run the table or just lose one game. You could say that, but reality is you don't just run tables and do all this stuff. Right now, I think realistic, it's fair to say there's no reason in the world why the Bucs shouldn't have a winning season this year, why they shouldn't go 3-2 against this schedule and close out like a strong football team. Winning.
I finally agree with Isbitsley. If they finish 9-7, not 8-8, if they finish 9-7, Lee, and fall a little short, I'm okay with that, and Buck fans will be okay with
because
that.
A reason
not
why
eight
is they turn, because
not 8-8
because they turned the corner. That's why people will be happy. Like, wow, okay, finally we're seeing something and we're seeing some progress.
8-8's not good enough at this point, Steve.
Yeah,
it's not.
And how you do that, meaning go 3-2 to finish this season, however you sprinkle in those three wins, it doesn't make a hell of a difference. They can lose 2, win 3. They could lose here, beat the Saints, lose to Dallas and close 2 out. Doesn't matter. I think that's a good season for these Bucks. But I don't have any skepticism going into San Diego. I think the Bucks are good enough to win. But do I think they're a guaranteed slam dunk here by any stretch? No, not at all. And I'll throw this nugget out, see what Lee thinks. I haven't mentioned it to him. I know, Ira, we talked about this over some schnapps earlier today. In the final, the Bucks' final 5 games, Lee. Get this, final 5 games, they will be facing 4 of the NFL's top scoring offenses in the final 5 games. That's a very tall order. San Diego's number 3. San Diego's 3, Saints are 2, Dallas is 4. So that, to me, that means the Bucs have to overhaul who they are. Because they haven't scored a lot of points these last 2 weeks.
And the last time they faced that, Steve, was the Falcons, who were number 1, and they got ravaged.
Right. And in order to win, they're going to have to score. And Cutter has called the offense 2 weeks in a row pretty average. So your reaction, Lee?
I don't discount what you're saying. I think the Bucs have the capability of running up the score. The Saints' defense is horrid. I mean, horrid. Period, end of sentence. San Diego, nothing to write home about. Yeah, and what you said is perfect about San Diego. They're beatable. They're vulnerable. The Bucks can beat them. Will they? That's a different question.
I think it's a pretty even game.
Yeah, guys. Me too.
I think it's a pretty me even too. Game.
Yeah, San Diego. Yeah, and here I'm no Russo, and you. Russo and you always go off on this. I don't know that Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. He's not Dan Marino. He's gotten to one AFC championship, and that is it. He's a good quarterback.
He's good.
Yes.
He's good.
Hall of Famer, that's a stretch.
I'm with you. It's a stretch.
But
Now, the emergence, Steve, what makes this particularly, I think, dangerous is Melvin Gordon's emergence. Guys, they're not one-dimensional, and mm-hmm. so Rivers doesn't have to throw 45 times. Lee, and we saw what happened with the Bucks when they were throwing 45 times. They got off to a 1-3 start, mm-hmm. And Cutter realized, hey, we're out of whack here. Mm-hmm. We can't do this. Same thing in San Diego. I guess Joey Bosa's playing very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now the Bucks have their own rookie defensive lineman, Lee, who's coming on very strong.
Oh, yeah, he's got more sacks than Bosa, if I recall correctly. He's a half a sack off the rookie lead. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. This Yannick guy at Jacksonville.
That's right.
Quick one on Phillip Rivers. I saw the Bucks, speaking of horror defenses, when, if I recall this correctly, did not Leonard Johnson get two picks off Phillip Rivers?
The aforementioned Leonard Johnson?
If I recall correctly.
You know what? He threw one ball right into his hands on the sideline.
Oh, one of the worst passes I've ever seen.
Horrible pass.
On the right sideline.
And he ran it all the way back.
I think that was a different game. I can look it up.
Well, the game was in Tampa. That game was in Tampa. And he threw it right to Johnson.
If Johnson's the right guy, I specifically remember Phillip Rivers in Tampa.
I believe it was Johnson.
Had one of the worst passes I've ever seen. He rolled right and got happy feet along the right sideline, stood there, and it was as if...
It was a little 8-yard pass.
It was like 8-yard pass. It hit the Bucks defender right in the numbers, and it was taken back for a touchdown. I want to say that was Leonard Johnson.
He's absolutely right, Steve, and nobody could believe that a veteran quarterback like Rivers could make a play
like
that. So
it's not like, you know, as I stated earlier...
But I still think he's a good to very good quarterback. He's not Breeze. He's not.
No.
He's not Brady.
No.
He's not Rodgers, guys. And he may not be Ryan. You know, and
I agree with all that.
Because I think Ryan's the MVP of the league right
this
now.
This year, yeah, sure.
Right now.
I'll say this. I'm just going to say it one time. I think.
You're going to say schnapps again?
What no. Are you gonna say? when the time comes and Phillip Rivers is up for the Hall of Fame, I think there's going to be a very strong case when you look at the numbers, when you look at the wins, when you look at the consistency. I think it's going to be very difficult. Very difficult
that he's gonna,
to keep him out.
Oh, to keep him out?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have the postseason pedigree, Steve.
That's
and that
true.
Will hurt
that's
as a quarterback.
Yes.
You know, I don't like it, guys. I don't like it when they say about a linebacker or a safety, that guy didn't make the playoffs too much. That's not fair. That's not fair.
Correct.
But for a coach, and I went through this with Dungy.
Oh, boy.
For a coach or a quarterback, they have a lot more control than a safety
mm-hmm.
In determining wins and losses. I think it's fair, to an extent, to count how many big games a quarterback has brought his team to.
I mean, if you're going to
guide... Lee, do you agree with that?
With a quarterback, if he has no postseason pedigree, as you said, then you're talking Jim Hart as a Hall of Famer. I mean, come on.
You know.
I'm just saying, if you look at the number, just taking a quick look, Ira, guy's got more double the touchdowns to interceptions.
You are so dangerous with that computer in front of you, Isbitz.
Pro Football Reference is a wonderful site.
Guy's got a tremendous winning record. Okay, I don't think Mr. Hart that you're talking about
hasn't had great talent around him. Hasn't.
He's made 5 Pro Bowls.
What's his record,
he's
Steve?
He's got to the conference. He's 97-74.
Pretty good.
I'll give you a good comparison.
That's going to be interesting.
Phillip Rivers.
Lynn Dickey. I don't know if Dickey did it as long as Rivers. Isbitz is a Rivers man, and if I'm still on that committee in 12 years, Isbitz, representing Joe Bucks fan.
There you go.
I might have to pass judgment on Mr. Rivers.
It'll be interesting. He'll
you know what I love about Rivers? And it's not on Isbitz's computer screen, by the way.
The intangibles?
His competitiveness is
sure.
off the charts.
And
I love that about him.
And that also screws him up at times, too.
You want to know when the last time Phillip Rivers missed a game, Ira?
Let's hear it, baby.
The year they went to the AFC Championship game.
Never.
Never, even when he blew out a knee?
He became a starter in '06 and hasn't missed a game since.
Wow. Is he going to end up...
So he showed up for
work. He's not going to challenge Brett Favre's record, is he?
I mean, don't know, Ira. You know these things. I'm just saying...
what is he in
there? He's working on 171 consecutive starts.
I think he could end up number two to all-time to Favre.
It'll be interesting. That's all. It'll be interesting. All right. Now, we got the Bucks heading there. Okay, we all agree, I think, that this is a very competitive game against a very competitive team. Now, let me throw this at you, Ira. I'm going to be writing. I might have written it already, maybe tomorrow morning. We've heard a lot about the Jamesburg address, you know, and how this whole family theme going on.
That you're not buying, Isbits, that you're not buying.
Well, I buy it, but not to the extreme that these, you know, mainstream media guys are writing about these hug sessions and Gerald McCoy's weeping in the shower and all this stuff. Now, you heard the off-the-record conversation I had with Damar Dotson today. You were there reflecting back on Greg Schiano's family themes. He passed out bracelets. They cheered family. They all talked about family. We heard all that in 2012. So I'm sort
of... The problem was those bracelets were made out of little Pez dispenser things, and they crumbled when you got into the heat.
they were made out of rubber. But, you know, there's something real going on with this team here. But now...
What did you write, Mr. Isbits?
I wrote about Robert Ayers. And Robert Ayers... He sort of had the unspoken Jamesburg address that nobody's talked about.
On the other side of the ball.
On the other side of the ball. Ayers, after the Atlanta game, we've learned Ayers Lee ripped into the whole team like a Looney Tune. Okay, basically calling them, saying this is effing unacceptable.
We're
better than this, and this has got to stop right now. Went wild. Okay.
Sounds like it was needed.
I asked Adam Humphries about this. To see if that really extended to the other side of the ball. And he said, oh, absolutely. Ayers spoke to them after a practice, gathered the team together. It wasn't right after the Atlanta game, like a heat of the moment thing. It was a planned address. And the full dress down came from Mr. Ayers. And Akeem Spence said Ayers is the bully of the locker room. And that was a big deal.
And you can't do that when you're hurt. You can't make that kind of address, Lee, when you're not playing. So that was part of it.
Unless you're like Gerald McCoy or someone like that.
Well,
I don't know.
Guys, are we stunned? Because part of the reason that we all heard that the Bucks were interested in Ayers as a free agent were his intangibles. Lee, we can't be shocked that Ayers would be the one that would go off the reservation.
Well, I spoke with someone a couple of months, actually during training camp, who was privy to this information. They got more than they bargained for. That's what I was told. They knew he had some intangibles. They knew he was a feisty guy. They got more than they bargained for.
It also helps that he's playing well now, Steve.
So knowing the Jamesburg address and all of Jameis's stuff and this family stuff. And,
so you got a salty veteran and a 22-year-old.
We got Ayers's address. Are you going to not buy into the family stuff if this team comes out flat in San Diego? Is it all going to be a bunch of hooey to you if they go out there, biggest game of their lives, with all this stuff and come out flat? Will you discount all this family crap?
It would put a big dent in it, Lee. A big, big dent. Now, if they lose 24-21 in overtime, that doesn't mean anything in that regard. If they're as flat as the Seahawks looked on Sunday, by the way, Seattle players were calling it a dud of a game, a dud. And they looked listless. They did.
Well, that travel got to them, I think.
So, to Isbit's point, if the Bucks get blown out, Lee, it's going to put a big dent into that. We are family.
To Steve's point, if they go 2-3 the rest of the way, then yes, that family caca is just nonsense. I'll agree with you. If they finish, you know, again, like Ira said, hey, they lose a close game to San Diego, I mean, it happens. But if they get blown out and they finish the season 2-3, yeah, it's a bunch of hooey.
And the reason I bring this up, Ira, for all of our readers and Bucks fans everywhere, last year at 6-6, we heard over and over again, and the game, whoever they played when they were 6-6, what did we hear over and over? Oh, we came out flat.
Saints game, wasn't it?
Oh, we were flat.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Lavonte David, oh, we were flat. We came out flat. Flat, to me, doesn't cut it. If they come out flat, it's all a bunch of garbage, because there's no excuse for this young, healthy team playing where they are now with a new coach that they're all bought in on to come out flat, period. You lose, you lose. You come out flat and not be competitive. Unacceptable.
You know, I'm almost Seattle, sure. Seattle, you know, making a cross, you know, and I'm Thank not going to make excuses.
No excuses.
But they're going to win that division, and they know they're going to win that division. But the Bucks, they have to climb.
Yes.
They're behind. So and to Steve's point, and I finally agree with Isbits, it's week. It's week 12. I agree with Isbits.
Check your blood pressure.
You can't have a lackluster performance.
I'm going to jump on two subjects here to vault from this subject. Bucks fans always whine about the offensive line, which I'm getting tired of hearing, number one. I think it's grossly inaccurate. Number two, you want to see a bad offensive line? Seattle's. That was no surprise. Bucks took advantage of that. So, Bucks fans, you think the Bucks offensive line's bad? Go rewatch the tape of Seattle. Period. End of sentence. The game that Steve's referring to, they came out flat. Go ahead and check on Pro Football Focus. I'm pretty sure that was New Orleans game at home. And Steve was absolutely right.
It was.
You're on the cusp of a freaking playoff run that this team hasn't had since 2010 and since Chucky was around, and you come out flat? That is inexcusable. That, to me, is lazy. That's lazy. You come out flat.
And guess who was very interested in those post-game quotes from Levante David? Joel, Brian, and Avi Glazer. That spoke volumes to them, and I think it contributed mightily once the 0-4 was finished. That they need a change.
Lovey dug his own grave.
Now, know? Ira, did you speak about this over cocktails,
well,
schnapps?
Since you have the computer, you might as well look up how to spell schnapps over there.
Cognac.
I believe there was some borscht involved.
Some borscht involved?
No cognac?
they can't come out flat, Steve. To answer your question,
interesting.
Cannot.
Ira Kaufman giving some peek inside the mind of Team Glazer.
I did not see Joel in any of the videos, but the rest of the Glazer clan was
I didn't see
in
them
the locker
after
room.
The game.
They were there.
Well, Avi was in the locker room. Ed was in the locker room. I thought I saw Brian in the locker room. The videos on Buccaneers.com. I did not see Joel in the locker room. That doesn't mean they weren't there.
Yeah, I mean, we had mentioned this for those listening in the last podcast. Team Glazer wasn't spotted, but they were in the locker room.
Well, the week before, Steven, I got a little nervous.
They were in
KC. Kemper told this to me.
They were in KC.
But,
I saw them.
You know, the Kemper happened to be, you know,
I got touchy with one
hanging around Joel Glazer like a shadow, and Glazer got a little nervous. You know, my shadow here.
Well, most women are in my presence. So
realized it was not the Kemper, and welcomed them with open arms, Steve.
Well, Lee,
Joel had reason for concern because women are nervous.
Ira, as you use the term "press the flesh," Lee took that a little literally, and it got a little crazy.
But all's well now. All right,
let me say this, Ira. Just a quick nugget, which we're not going to focus on this. I'm just throwing this out there.
The 11:37 nugget. You're not going to beat that.
Just a quick nugget. Philip Rivers in his 11 starting seasons. How many losing seasons does he have, Ira? In 11 years?
Three.
Two.
Two. Okay.
Two. That's pretty impressive it for is. Consistency.
What are you, Rivers agent over here,
no,
Steven?
I'm trying to temper expectations. This is a good football team.
Who are you going to talk up next? Sam Bradford? I mean, who's next on this list?
He's a modern-day version of Sonny Jurgensen.
He's a very good quarterback.
Bucks can't come out flat. No excuse. No excuse. And Lee was correct. It was the Saints game where they were 6-6. And came out, quote-unquote, flat.
What about
not
the Bucks
acceptable.
Being flexed, Steve? Is that a sign of respect? They're usually the team that gets bumped.
Yeah,
in this case, they're the bumpy.
As Lee wrote on JoeBucksFan.com, the Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, longtime Dallas Cowboys beat writer Shireen Williams, tweeted out that, take it to the bank, the Bucks and Cowboys will be flexed. That's the game a week from
and
Sunday
of course
in
the
Dallas.
The Saints have already been flexed, the Saints game.
And the Saints game on December 11th has now been moved to 4:25. So it's respect.
The Cowboys game, respect. Just to be specific, will be flexed, per Shirleen, will be flexed to Sunday evening. Primetime, Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, night game. So
anytime you flaunt with Carrie Underwood, you're in high cotton.
Now, to be fair, a lot of that is the Cowboys.
Of course.
Well,
the
executives, I believe there's a deadline on the flexing, which I believe is 10 or 11 days in advance, might be 12 days in advance of the game. So we'll know next week. But that would be something. There would be a lot of tremendous buzz in this town for a Sunday night
Bucks
Cowboys game.
San Diego.
We would have to have a get together, I think. That would be mandatory for such a big
mandatory.
Game.
Schnapps.
Get you off your couch.
Wings.
Wings. I'm sure Abe's Place would accommodate us with some all kinds of fun.
And Jason Light Ale that night.
Oh, actually, it's sold out. Jason Light Ale is sold out. I'm not sure exactly when it'll be back. The brewmaster is doing his thing. You know, the hops have to be aged so properly.
I, of course, will be drinking schnapps that night.
Exactly, yes. We'll make sure they carry.
This is a fun time, guys.
It is fun time.
6-5, look what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're not doing draft.
And they were 3-5, and after that, two back-to-back games. And look what we were talking about then.
All right, now, Ira, our readers here at JoeBucksFan.com, they crave your intimate knowledge of the game. It's not just all fun and games and schnapps and all that stuff. So,
is it that time that I have to make a pick, Steve? Is that what you're trying to tell
me? Well, there's two
me?
Things. There's about three or four things you have to do. First, we have to acknowledge Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You just, you know, so many of these listeners now, Ira, they're shopping for a car. Or they know that, you know, that this is the time to get one, the end of the year. tremendous season's best sales
Maybe
events.
Maybe they think they're out, it's out of their range. They can't do it. But they'll find a way, right?
Yeah, and you know what? You've got affordable Cadillacs now. This is not a Cadillac's not a car for old guys like you who've been covering the NFL for 54 years and running now.
What happened to the custodian account? Where's the respect, Lee? Where? See how quick it turns.
EdmoresCadillacTampa.com and EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. So, Ira, okay, now let's get to this Kansas City game. Joey Bosa.
Did you say San Diego game?
Joey Bosa.
He loves the barbecue so much he can't get it out of his head.
Joey Bosa's missed a lot of time. Yeah. That's what's made his rise so special, because he missed all the training camp, a month of the season.
Preseason. And people were shocked that the Chargers took him, what was it, number three? They were pretty
people raised
shocked.
Their eyebrows.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, the NFL, if you don't have pass rushers, you're toast. So it didn't shock me at all. I don't think it shocked Lee at all. I would have been happy if the Bucs made a move for the
guy. I talked to Dotson this week, Steve. I asked him which side is Bosa playing. He says 60-40. 60 on the right, 40 on the left. So both Donovan Smith and Dotson will get a face full of Bosa.
Well, I'll make a little prediction. Our friend DeMar Dotson might not like it, but I think we're going to see a higher percentage of Bosa on Dotson's side.
Interesting.
I would do. I would if I was San Diego, sure.
No, especially with his quickness, Bosa's quickness, and the fact that Jameis does so well out of the pocket, running. You know, maybe you want him more on that side that Jameis is going to scramble to. But this is a game, Ira, where, as we said quite a while ago, Bucs have to score points. Where do those points come from, Ira?
They come from Mike Evans, like they always come from. I am making – now, guys, I've said a lot of bold things on this podcast. I might top myself.
Bold but not beautiful.
I might top myself right here. In my mind, and I'm an AP voter, all-pro voter. Tough to make the all-pro team, guys. A lot easier to make the Pro Bowl. In my mind, Mike Evans has been the best receiver in football.
Whoa.
The best receiver in football. You heard it, Isbits. You can look up all the computer nonsense you want. You can go to Pro Football Focus, those clowns that are marking things in their underwear, in their basement. You and I have seen Mike Evans for 11 games. Nobody is playing better wideout than Mike Evans, in my opinion.
I can't go there, but he's right up there.
You know, his numbers speak. I love the first downs that this guy's generating.
That's incredible. Then you pointed out one of your columns. That's incredible.
He's way ahead of anybody else.
He's a chains mover.
He's a chains mover, and he's an end zone finder.
Is he playing better than Antonio Bryant?
I think you could argue it. Okay. I think you could
argue
it.
How about Julio Jones?
Antonio Bryant?
Antonio Brown.
Who's
Antonio Brown?
Antonio Brown, I'm sorry.
Those are the two guys that come to mind.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking either one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm not trading Mike Evans for anybody.
You know, you got a point. You could make an argument that Evans possibly is having a better season than those two. And I emphasize the word possibly.
I'm not trading Evans for either of those two.
Well, why the
I'm
hell
not.
Would you? I mean,
I'm
come
not.
On.
What's a kid, 24 years old?
So you're saying Evans is the key. You're looking at him.
I'll give you another key.
No, I'm going to put words in your mouth here, Ira. So you're looking at Evans needs a 10 touchdown. No, excuse me. 10 receptions.
10 targets, 7 catches for $120.
3 touchdowns.
And a couple touchdowns. And I want to make a point that
all right,
Kemper was...
Is that enough points? Where are the other points coming from?
Well, Brate
bingo.
Gets you one.
Brate. Bingo.
All right. Well, those 14 points were good enough the past 2 weeks, but now what about this week when they need to score 28?
Well, Aguayo kicks 5 field goals. We and to DeKemper's point, and it's not a small one, and we've watched a lot of Buck football. Can you remember, let's be honest, 2 games back-to-back where you've seen better pass protection in Buck history? I mean, I'm going back a long way.
It's been a while.
Absolutely. You know, Winston played the Seattle Seahawks. I don't care that Earl Thomas didn't play.
Yeah.
Now, Bennett means a lot.
Yeah.
But they still got playmakers.
Exactly.
He was not sacked. He was not harassed. And the Chiefs game was, I think, a double plus. I've never seen protection like that. And you saw what Justin Houston just did to the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
He single-handedly wrecked them. He had 3 sacks. He didn't smell Winston.
This is why I go bananas when these fans act like the Bucs have a sieve for an offensive line. Like, what are you watching?
Now, can they block a little better for the run game, Lee? Yeah, they can.
A little bit, but I'll give you one. At that Kansas City game, Donovan Smith was blowing the doors off his guys. I mean, my gosh, Peyton Barber is running through holes you and I could have walked through. I'm dead serious. So I really don't, unless Buck fans have an absurd level of what they consider good, as in perfection, which you're not going to get perfection. It's almost like they expect everybody on a Bucks offensive line to be the second coming of Tony Boselli.
I'm thinking 24 or 27 points, Steve. What do you got in mind for the Bucks? I mean, that they need.
I don't know. I need to know what Doug Martin shows up. I need to know that.
That is a major key.
Because you know what? You're heralding the offensive line. So don't tell me these guys forgot how to run block.
They haven't.
They didn't. And they're all back.
And Quiz Rogers didn't have any trouble gaining yards.
Rogers, no trouble. Statistically.
Peyton Barber, no trouble.
Barber's done better than Martin. Come on. This guy's got to show up. This is not a great San Diego
defense.
Fair
enough. The only reason, because right now, I think we can all agree, it doesn't matter what your contract says. It's all hands on deck. If you're producing, you should play. If you're not producing, you shouldn't. The only reason why Doug Martin is getting so many snaps, the guy can pass protect like a mother. I'll never forget that Chiefs play. I think if I remember correctly, it was when Jameis hit Evans down the field for about a 40-yard pass. Evans is out of bounds at the 3-yard line. It was right defensive end for Kansas City. Blew past.
Could have been Tamba Holly.
Might have been Holly, as well as a blitzer came through. Doug Martin took both those guys out with one block. I mean, it was beautiful. You couldn't get a better block. Taking out two guys at once for running back.
And Steve, to make Steve's point too, Lee, about Martin's struggles, that fumble didn't help. That fumble didn't help. It could have been a really bad turnover.
Bucks fans Steve. Won't. Bucks fans.
That's not acceptable in Dirk Cutter's universe.
Bucks fans won't want to hear this, but I'm willing to lay cash that next year is Martin's last year with the Bucks. And I would not be shocked. I'm not saying the Bucks will. I would not be shocked if a talented running back falls in a draft that Jason Light goes and gets him.
I'm keeping Sims as a number two. I think he's an excellent fit as a number
two. Is he number two, or is Jack is Jack is Green? I'm sorry, Jack is Rogers.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not gonna turn my back on Charles Sims based on the year he had last year, and he got hurt this year.
To me, Sims is number one. He can't stay healthy. That's been proven through 2 years. Number one. Number two, he's not that good of a runner. He's a dancer. He's a ballet dancer in the backfield. Good receiver. Good receiver.
Well,
he had
1,000 yards, Lee, backing up a Pro Bowl running back.
Not
easy to do, Steve.
Rushing yards? No, he did not. But
no, I said 1,000 total yards.
Yeah, total yards.
Not easy.
Again, he's a great receiver, but he's not a good running back. Not at all. How this guy graded out higher than Devonta Freeman when he came out of college, I have no idea. But he did. Thank you, Lovey. Again, he's a good receiver. Running back, no.
I'll say this, Ira. We're going to learn a lot about the running back position in these next few weeks, and I'm really excited about it. One, Jason Light said before yesterday's game, or Sunday's game on Buccaneers Radio Network, that 100% Charles Sims would be back for the last 4 games. So he will be back next week. So we're going to get Sims back. He's been practicing. Jaquiz Rogers is ready to roll. He was inactive last week, but he's ready this week.
Sims is very effective on that screen too, Steve. That could help.
Well, he's a talented football player. And is he a number one back? No.
Okay.
Period. Uh-huh. And like Lee said, a number one back was drafted after him.
But he can help you win.
But he can do a lot of things. But I think the bottom line is his next year's his contract year. And he doesn't make any money as a third-round pick. They make like $600,000 a year, something like that. So he'll be back next year, and we'll see. We'll see what he turns in and turns out. But I would bet anything myself that this is next year's Doug Martin's last year on this team, no question. It'll be interesting to see what Jaquiz Rogers can do in this complimentary role. He's a guy who's going to be okay with earning, veteran minimum, and we'll see where that goes. But they got talent, at least.
Here's one for you to back up what Steve said. When Charles Sims comes into the game, your defensive coordinator, you aren't worried about the run. You're worried about the pass.
Okay.
And when a running back is that one-dimensional, it's not good. Because that's why
Lee, he ran a little better last year than you're giving him credit
last
for.
Last year, sure.
He ran well last year.
I'm talking 2016.
Okay.
Ask Jason like this. He'll tell you. One of the reasons why Peyton Barber is not getting the ball that much, i.e. why he's not on the field that much, good running back, talented running back, pass pro is a problem.
Okay.
So when he's in the game, well, you're tipping off the defense what's going to happen. Same with Charles Sims. When he's in the game, you're tipping off the defense what's going to happen. That's why Martin's in the game. Martin has a pass history where they have to respect him with the running attack, but he's also a great blocker. So he doesn't really tip off the defense.
I got you.
All right, Ira, prediction?
Well, I've been wrong 2 weeks in a row, gentlemen. And it reminds me of the postseason in 2002 when I picked the Eagles to beat the Bucks, and and I'm still hearing about it from Rondé Barber.
Is that why they let you go? 14 years later, they were pissed boy. Off.
And then, you know, one day, you know, next week, I'm gonna tell the story, and you got to remind our listeners because it's a classic. It's one of my best stories. Remind me about picking who was going to win the Super Bowl between the Raiders and the Bucks. I have a great story about that.
I thought you were going to say some lovely lady in Los Angeles.
Absolutely not. So, Steve, after being summarily embarrassed the last 2 weeks, I'm going to go with the Bucks going out to San Diego. A close game because that's what the Chargers play, close games. And the Chargers' season of torment continues with a 27-23 setback.
There you go, Bucks fans. If you want to make some money, bet the opposite.
Thank you, Isbitz.
No. Hey, fine prediction. Ira, going to hit you with this real quick. Want your reaction. None of this is bloviating. This week.
Yes, Mr. O'Reilly.
This week, Dirk Cutter said, criticism of Levante David. He doesn't get it, and it's all, quote-unquote, numbers-based. You buy that?
No. I believe that's Cutter rallying around his player.
Mm-hmm.
None of the three of us ever said that Levante David was having a lousy season. What we said was he was having an okay season, and that's not good enough for Levante David.
I've written he was having a lousy season.
So to me, the paucity.
Okay.
Spell that one, my man.
With a U. P-A-U-C-I-T-Y.
Of tackles attached to Levante's name tells me, generally speaking, he's not around the ball enough. Now, he made a big play.
Fantastic.
A fantastic play. Again.
If you're having a good...
My expectations for Levante David are very high.
If you're having a good year, you don't lay a goose egg when you need a win on the road, which he did in Arizona. Mr. Vocabulary, I got one for you. If we're talking predictions, I'll talk about San Diego real quick. If the Bucks beat San Diego, they will have proven to the NFL they are not to be trifled with.
There. Nice.
Trifled.
And that would make them 6-2 in their last 8 games. Am I correct on that, Stephen? I believe that's correct.
Well, they were 1-3, so that by
3-5.
My public school education would put that at 6-2. So fantastic. All right, Ira, you're predicting a Bucks victory, and
we didn't get the Kemper's pick here, Stephen. We didn't get a pick.
Lee pick.
I'm not impressed with San Diego. I'm sorry. Phillip Rivers. They're so damn great. Why aren't they going to be in the playoffs?
Bucks win.
Bucks win on a 42-yard field goal by one Roberto Aguayo.
That's very specific, Steve.
42 yards.
And now it's up to you to provide a little perspective.
You know what? I'm so drained on these freaking predictions because I've been...
I've been wrong as well.
I did say I thought they could pull out against the Chiefs because I thought that was a good matchup for them. I thought they would lose last week. Thought they would lose to the Bears. I don't know, Ira. I
did too.
I'm worn out. I just want to watch the game and enjoy. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know.
You'll have a little Jason Light ale and you'll enjoy.
I'm not even on the fence. I don't know.
And our man Lee will be in town on scene
in San Diego.
Lee DeCamper be in San Diego. I believe our crack photo team will be out there as well as JoeBucksFan.com pounds the pavement like no other.
Who takes you in the locker room after a game like DeCamper, Stephen? Who doesn't? I mean, he's got everybody.
What do you mean, takes you?
Who takes the readers and the listeners into the Buck locker room and tells you what's going on better than Lee DeCamper? He'll tell you which cheerleaders are hanging around, whether he passed any Charger cheerleaders on the way to the locker room. He'll get a Rachel Watson reference in. And most importantly, he talks to a lot of people, and he gets good stuff.
Well, I got to give Steve credit here. I was not the one who witnessed Sapp and Jameis's dad John at each other about how Sapp said, and Steve wrote this, if I had your son, I'd have 5 championships.
And let's give Isbitz credit because he was the guy at Mike Evans' locker a few weeks ago that was armed with information and started the whole debate going on.
The flag debate.
All right, I'm just a guy with a cheap recorder, Ira. Let's go. All right. Fans, thank you. Of course, listen to Ira's podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are his columns. After every game, Ira produces his 10 takeaways. Takes him like 4 hours to do that. And some good stuff coming this week. If you haven't read Ira's column yet on Marcus Mariota And Jameis Winston. Ira talked to John Robinson as well as Jason Light. I have a feeling some of those nuggets might go national. So check it out. And thanks for visiting JoeBucksFan.com. Tomorrow you've got Todd Wright's Fantasy Football Podcast. He's going to make you some money. And we got some good news, Ira. Todd's going to go, has decided to go year-round with his podcast to morph it into an all things football and Todd world. Which is nice.
And when's the commish weighing in again?
Commish weighs in on Saturday with his podcast, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday with Bucks Uncensored. Definitely the most spicy podcast in Buccaneers history.
And, I give you words to look up, and he gives you words to hide the women and children over there. That's what he does.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Ira. Have a good one.